Ruth mentioned the other day that there's such a great momentum in intercession right now, and she's just sensing such a great momentum in what God is busy doing. And it's been phenomenal for me to see what's been happening over the last year in worship. If you would think about 2 years ago when we had one worship leader with a djembe and it sometimes felt like half the church is not singing, to what we have now, I think if we'd only have a djembe, it would sound like we're the whole of Greenpoint Stadium. I think if there were 20,000 of you there last night, then the stadium wouldn't have made it. Amongst other things, we have just seen God put, there was such a solidifying in our small groups and in the missions that we have done and where that's leading, and even church growth for the first time in many years. And it's just been such a momentum. It's in the spirit and we see it. It's happening in community. It's been amazing. So my call to you is that God is building his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And God is inviting you to join him. He tells Peter that you are a rock, and on this rock I will build my church. He wants to build on us. He wants to use us, but he is building his church on us. And he's inviting us into that partnership, even though we'd fail as many times as Peter did after Jesus told him that. God is inviting, and for you who's part of this congregation, the invitation is to join what God is busy doing. From one degree of glory to the next. That's where we're at right now. What I will share with you right now might for some of you feel like quite the contrary. But sometimes when you see with the eyes of Jesus, you see that things happen upside down. And the way that he does things is not the way that we would expect it of things to have been. So, let me share with you the following. Over the past 2.5 years, God has been speaking to us about planting a church in Luxembourg, stirring our hearts and spirits and providing one confirmation after the other. Through various passages of scripture, through visions and prophetic words, through the wise counsel of mentors and friends and family, we are convinced that the Lord is calling us to go and plant a church in Luxembourg in the near future. We are actively busy building with a core group on that side, and we're actively planning the transition for Shofar Cape Town City. I see tissues ever. I've learned not to be shy of the tears anymore, but there are some other elements to crying that I am still less comfortable with. Sometimes when you're on the floor in front of Jesus for half an hour and he's doing so many things, and it's sometimes that kind of gets me to stand up and just sort out things before we continue, Jesus, isn't it? So, first of all, we're not moving now. We are transitioning now. We believe that we'll be here in 2025, at least for the most part of it, but we think we will probably be here for the whole year, assisting actively still leading and assisting in the transition here. This church from glory to glory. This is what God is doing. It's very sad for us, and maybe even sad for some of you. But it's God, and I'm going to share with you today why I believe that with my whole heart. And I trust that it would inspire faith in you. And even though we can cry together, we should just be able to say to ourselves that we truly believe it's God. Because if it is God, then this is really good for you and me and the church in Cape Town and the church in Europe. Amen. What I'm sharing with you now, I have shared with our leaders, all leaders of teams within the church, and we have a committee from those leaders who've said they would love to be a soundboard to us, so we've been speaking to them, and they know maybe they've known about this, and so if you want to speak to someone, maybe after today, then you can speak to any one of them, or you can come and speak to us. Obviously, maybe don't come and speak to us. That might be a bit much, because we're also trying to figure it out, but you can speak to us if you feel God leads you. But anyone who is partnering with us in that transition assist committee, would you guys maybe just quickly stand so the church can just see who are you guys that know and that are here today and that you can... All right. So that's a lot of people. So I hope you picked your favorite one for a coffee. It would be difficult because they are favorites. And we truly believe that there is an invitation to hear God in what he's calling you into this new season for. There are callings that's going to be unlocked and people that's going to be released, and we can be sad as much as we want, and we will be, and we should be. But we should not miss what God is busy doing, because it's the next degree of glory. And we're on our way there. The momentum is already there. Okay. With humility, I realized the last while that it was never my vision. The things God told me was never my vision to execute. It was my vision to steward, but it was God's vision to execute from the beginning. I've seen these pictures, some of you would know, I've shared it many times. I've seen these pictures so many times of the name of Jesus being lifted up against Table Mountain with fireworks around, and then his name flowing down the mountain through the streets of Cape Town, and worship happening in the stadium and the Hall of Cape Town hearing it. And sometimes we're like Moses who sees these things, we know these things, but we don't enter to see these things. Like the people in Hebrews 11 who trusted for things that they don't see themselves. And last night when we were there and we were singing in the stadium, Cape Town could hear it, and there was a little bit of that happening. And we sang and we said, Jesus on the mountain, Jesus in the streets. And I realized it's just God saying, I'm still doing that. That's just a little sign of it. That's not it yet. That's not, you told me now it happened. No, that's God saying, I'm still doing that I showed you I would do. And we get the opportunity to partner with God in certain seasons in life, but it is all his work. So today I would like to share the story of how God spoke to us. This is a very high value for us. As a sending church, if people come to me like Daniel and Danny, then I ask them, what did God say? Otherwise, we can't send you. So without a conviction, I'm too scared to send you. So that's been the culture that we've had, because we have to take sending seriously. So I owe it to you, and I'm accountable to you to have really heard from the Lord. And I'm open to your feedback and your prophetic insight as we embark on this journey also. So what I want to do for the bulk of our time now is to share with you why we really believe this is God. And we can assure you that if it wasn't for that, we would never have wanted to move from the vision and the people and the place that we have here. So, ready for a story? If you are sad or upset or confused or angry or anything right now, all those things are perfectly reasonable. That's okay. If you can't listen to what I'm going to say now, it will be recorded so you can listen to it again later. If you are very excited about it, then this is for you. So a while back, Johan Verster, who used to be in our congregation, came to me. We had a coffee one morning, and he said that he received a word from another shofar pastor that he would be sent as Daniel to Babylon. And so a couple of weeks later, he received a job offer in Luxembourg. And during his quiet time, he felt God confirm and say, "That was that. I'm sending you to Babylon." So he came to me and he said, "This is what I believe God said. This is what has happened. I believe I should go to Luxembourg as a type of Daniel to Babylon." Immediately in that moment, I was prompted to say that I will come and visit you there and pray for you. And so I said that. I think it was God in retrospect. Then when we were on a mission to Portugal in 2022, half the team did a little detour to Luxembourg to go and pray for Johan and Jeannie, who felt God had sent them to Luxembourg. And we were there for one day, and we met some amazing people and saw the place and went for prayer walks, which usually I find rather uninteresting. I would rather walk than to prayer walk, because I don't know what, I don't really get prayer walks, to be honest, okay? But this prayer walk got me. I want to be focused when I pray. So, but this prayer walk. So I was walking over a specific bridge in the middle of Luxembourg that one day when you come and visit us, I'll show you exactly where that is. And in the middle of that bridge, just walking and praying, I had an encounter with God unexpectedly, where he literally stopped me in my tracks. And I sensed God speak to me very clearly, directly saying, "Dear weer, jylle moet 'n kerk plant hier. Dear weer, you must plant a church here." I didn't really know how to respond to that. So I just took it into my heart. Later on, friends of ours in Luxembourg asked us, "Where did God say that to you?" And I told them the exact place. And he said, "Wow, that is exactly the place where there's a high suicide rate in Luxembourg, as you would know. That's exactly the place people jump from. There's a lot of darkness in Babylon." And so I had that encounter and I put it into my heart and I was thinking, "God, so does this mean we assist people here who want to plant a church and visit regularly? Does this mean we come here in 20 years' time and plant a church in Luxembourg? Or because we can't really come now," was my thinking, and I think that was right then. I didn't understand what it meant, to be quite honest. But I heard it as clear as anything. We went back home. I didn't tell the team about this then, because if the pastor goes on a mission with you and tells him that God just told me to plant a church here, then what does that mean? Like, that's kind of having this conversation back then. That's way too soon. So we processed it. And for a long while, we thought that we would probably support the church plant from here. That's what we wanted. We prayed into this all the more. Pastor Ross, who's my region leader, backed it. Retief, who was there with me, who's the pastor at Shofar Tableview, he sensed God in it. Runel really backed me in it. I sensed God in it. And me and Retief decided to be like a kind of a Joshua and Caleb and to go and visit again in the next year to see what God maybe wants to do and to see who might be around there. I'm realizing this can take long, so I'm going to hurry up. There's lots of stories that I'm not going to speak about today, and lots of things some of you might think, oh, why didn't you say that? But there's a lot to say, so let me get through to it. So me and Retief went, and we had incredible encounters in Luxembourg. Things happened, like someone would ask us, do you know a guy called Steve? He's not really Steve. I'm just saying Steve because I don't want to. He might want to listen to this recording, and we love them a lot, and I don't want to speak to about people like that, but just without their specific consent. So I said, hey, Steve. I said, no, I don't know Steve. Who is Steve? And he said, no, but someone sent me Steve's number and said that you said that they can contact me about finding a church in Luxembourg. And I was so confused. And then I realized, oh, it was the principal at Lisa's school that asked me when they heard we went to Luxembourg the first time. And I connected this guy that wanted to move to Luxembourg with a guy I knew in Luxembourg. But I didn't know who this was. So I said, I'd probably that guy. So I got his number, said, hey, I'm in Luxembourg. And he said, yes, let's have lunch. And we walk in there, and it's Steve, and he's an older man, and his son-in-law. They meet me and Retief for lunch, and we go up to their offices. They moved the company from Africa to Luxembourg, and they're there, and we went into their offices, and they asked us, what are you doing here? And we shared with them, and it ended in us all crying and praying and prophesying, because their hearts were burning for the same thing as what we believe God has told us to do. And we walked out of there thinking, what just happened? We just met people we didn't know that want to do the exact same that we want to do. We ended up staying at their house. We've stayed at their house a lot now. And so stories like that happened. And we saw that there is a need in Luxembourg. But one phrase from the Holy Spirit that I believe was God, but should still be tested, and then seeing a need that confirms that it's not yet God speaking. We have to be clear on this. Maybe a little teaching moment. Don't say God said. If I tell you I really believe God said, then I'm going to give you evidence like this to say I really believe. But I won't say arrogantly God said, and then what? If it wasn't God. Let's always remain humble. Don't have a meeting with God in the morning and say, this morning God told me that. Ooh, so you're going to respond to that word like you would if it was really God. Because sometimes we say God said, but then we respond to that like Pity said. So let's say, I believe God said, I sensed God said, and then we move with that. You do move on that. But you wait for the confirmation until you know that you really believe God said. Before you sometimes come to a place, I can tell you stories where you say, God said. But that must be quite a thing. Not for now. But after this story, we believe kind of, that's also how I feel. So we saw the need, and whilst I was then on that trip, I was walking, one day walking, praying, and I've sensed God say to me that there is a portion of my inheritance in Luxembourg. So our hearts, God started to prepare our hearts. We said, God, should we go? Should we just help? We started to do the church planting course with the group on that side. We had online meetings once a month, praying with them, working through some of those content, because there's people that side who want to do this. The more we heard from Luxembourg, the more we saw that the need there is aligning exactly to what comes naturally for us to build churches that embraces warm community, deep worship, missional values, and that whole spirit and Bible together. That's what we want. That's what we try to build. That's what's lacking there. Well, there's not a lot of a church to start with at all, but that's what everybody desires there, and it feels like, well, that's what we would, you know, build if you would throw us in there, and we would just be us. So the need was clear. The words kept on coming in. And then there was a day after that when me and Renal went to Retief and Edna to pray about Luxembourg. First of all, that morning in the Bible reading plan, we read Numbers 13. About the spies that went to spy out the promised land. I thought, oh, that's pretty interesting. We now also wanting to go and spy out the promised land. Now we're going to pray with the Tiff and Edna about the fact that we're going to spy. Now God has me read this that morning. So I was being set up, and I went to them and I said, hey guys, you wouldn't believe what I read this morning. I really believe God is speaking to us about it. He said, oh, you wouldn't believe it. That's the scripture God gave me about the work he wants to do in Europe. And so I was kind of set up for the fact that God wants to speak in prayer with them. And here's where it's starting to happen. In prayer with them, we received two words while we were praying. Someone prayed, I don't remember if it was me or someone else, but someone prayed about that it, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You know, that's scripture. And someone else prayed and said that we do not despise the day of small beginnings. You know that scripture? To be honest, I wasn't sure back then. I was like, is this just some kind of a random proverb or is this actually in the Bible? I wasn't sure. So I took out my phone and I Googled to see where this is, if it's in the Bible. And I opened up, and to my surprise, those two things was in the same portion of scripture. They're found in Zechariah 4, verse 6 to 10. I then started reading it, and I was overwhelmed by the presence of God when I did, and when I saw what I saw, because when I started to read it, knowing what the story was all about, I realized that God is now speaking to us. I'm going to read it to you. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things or beginnings shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. What's happening in this little section is that in the year 538 before Christ, King Cyrus decreed, seemingly out of the blue, but it was prophesied years back that a King Cyrus would decree the people to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And in his first year, whilst Daniel was with him, Daniel was one of the senior leaders that he inherited when the Persians came in. Like, Daniel kept being a senior leader in that. So Daniel was with him in Babylon. Cyrus decreed that they can go back, and Zerubbabel was the leader. So him and Joshua were sent back with provision from Cyrus to go and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. That's what they were sent. Glorious thing that happened. Glorious thing that God spoke years before, and they went. And they started to rebuild, but it was difficult. It was tough. And didn't always seem like it was really happening. When they first got there, they built just the altar. First thing that it was to build the altar so that worship can start. Not the rest of the thing. They just built the altar. And they held the Feast of Booths. They built the altar so worship can start, and they feasted. Worship and feasting is what God has told us would be the way we would plant this church. For 18 months they did that, Zerubbabel and Joshua. Just that. Nothing else. Then he laid the foundation. And it didn't look that great. And some of the older people moaned and said, it doesn't look so lekker. Really, that's what happened. And so this encouragement comes to him from Zechariah and says, this is the word of the Lord to you, Zerubbabel. Now, I also know from what kind of a leader Zerubbabel was that I'm kind of like a Zerubbabel kind of a leader. Like doing stuff, getting stuff done, new projects over the line. And I'm not the high priestly kind of a leader. I'm in this role, I'm sorry, but I'm all that kind. So I'm resonating and I'm hearing the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, who's executing this plan of Cyrus while Daniel is with him. And Babylon says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Well, isn't that quite something to Zerubbabel? Because Zerubbabel is going to build with his hands. He's going to build stuff. He's got money and there's bricks. And the Lord says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. I really like that because I like to build practical things too and like to see how that's by the Spirit, even though it's hard labor to get things done. And that was the word the Lord gave us. And I read on and I read, but who are you, O great mountain? And I immediately realized that in the middle of Europe, it's a small little country that's incredibly powerful over the whole of Europe and the whole of the world. It's the richest country in the world. It is a great mountain. It is close to the gospel. It's illegal to share the gospel with people in the streets there. It is a stronghold. It is a worldly stronghold. It is a Babylon. It is a mountain that must be overcome. Who are you, O great mountain? But before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. I was weeping at this stage. And he shall bring forth the top stone amidst of grace, Christ, that you will complete the building of this temple. It's interesting that once Zerubbabel just had to build the temple, and that took a long time. After him came Nehemiah, whose heart was broken for the fact that there were no walls. Some people get some work to do, and others get other work to do, and your heart would be burdened for what it is that you are called for, and you're only supposed to finish the things that you're called to do. But anyway, so then the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall complete it. And then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of a small beginning shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Some people have told us, but you just have a handful of people there. You can't back up your whole life. First wait until there's a church of 100 people and then you go. But we're saying, but the Lord has said we shouldn't despise the day of small beginnings. He's saying go. So even if the people we have on that side would leave us right now, we'd still have to go because God said and can start small and we can just worship there in the dust like they did for 18 months. And we would do that. And we won't despise the day of small beginnings and we'll see. And we'll see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. So the scripture came, and subsequent we've had favor of kings. I can tell you stories of awesome things that's happening, but as I read it, all these things became clear to me as I read it. Not all, but probably 80% of these things came clear to me as I read the scripture. I was completely overwhelmed in that moment. So now I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you're speaking to us through this specific scripture, but still I'm saying, Lord, please confirm. I'm like Gideon saying, Lord, I need a little more, I need a little more. So next thing that happened then with this scripture is we're holding on to it. I bring it up in the prayer meeting with the people in Luxembourg, and as I read it, I can't stop crying. I'm crying through that. I don't think I finished the scripture. It was awkward. Also awkward crying over video calls because then people can't do this. So they just sitting there. But anyway, it was awkward, but it was amazing. So then I shared it once again that the Spirit of God, I just felt him overwhelm me in that moment with the scripture. The next thing that happened was that we went on the mission there, me and Renal and Retief and Edna, to go and explore further last year in June, and we started an intercession group for that mission, and some of you are on there, you can go check it out. It's still there. there's a lot of it still on there, but the first message that was sent there, the first intercessor that posted a message was one of the intercessors in this world that I trust the most, whose name is Stefani. And Stefani just posted right in there the first thing that came up, Zechariah 4, verse 6 to 10, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. So I was holding on, I was telling her if what's happening here. This might be what's happening here. Later in that mission, an intercession leader from them, I think her name was Karen, she shared a lot of things, and within what she said, she sent Zechariah 4, verse 6 to 10, and she shared Zechariah 4, verse 6 to 10 with us on that mission. On the same mission, the star from Shofar George, who were the same people that gave the word to Johann way back when about Daniel in Babylon, that church prayed for our mission, got the voice notes, and in the voice note, the lady prayed and said, I just feel for you, Zechariah 4, verse 6 to 10. And so by that stage, it's just a bit much. Then we go to Pastor Summit last year in September after all this, and we're sitting next to the Stephen Edna, who's supporting us in all this, as you can hear. It was a very church planty kind of a Pastor Summit last year, and missionally kind of a Pastor Summit, lots of stuff in there about that. And then one of the pastors comes to the front with a word in worship, and he reads Zechariah 4, verse 6 to 10. And now, by this stage, we're just laughing at each other. This is just too much. And by the end of that pastor summit, Heinrich, who's the leader of the Shofar movement, who was, you asked me why I wasn't on stage last night, because Heinrich represented Shofar there. So Heinrich was there. Maybe you saw Heinrich. But so then Heinrich, with his last message of the pastor summit last year, he came and he preached the message on Zechariah 4, verse 6 to 10. And so, do you want to know what God is saying? We're feeling that if we would not acknowledge things like this, then we might as well not follow him anymore. He showed us the scripture that confirmed everything that has happened before and told the story of it and then brought it five more times to us in the context of church planting and the Luxembourg mission. So some other things that happened that I thought is quite cool. You remember the word about a part of my inheritance that's in Luxembourg. So one day I was reminded of that whilst reading about the allocations to the tribes, the inheritances that each different tribe would have in Israel. And I was thinking about the word God gave me about that, and I was thinking. And so you know that Luxembourg is this small little part in the middle of Europe, but it's really powerful. And so I felt God reminded me about this. And the next thing, I look onto my study Bible at the map right next to me, and I saw right in the middle of Israel, there are a small allocation made to two tribes called Dan and Benjamin. If you're new here, my name is Daniel Benjamin. And Jerusalem is right in there, where Zerubbabel had to rebuild the ancient ruins. This is one of those moments that you just feel God smile and say, there's something cute for you too. We went there, me and Ronaldo, Tratif and Edna, we went there last year, June, and I never gave you feedback on that mission because I couldn't have told you this then, but it happened. By that time, it already happened. There was many things to do and to confirm before that, but that trip was it felt like we floated on a prophetic cloud. Everybody we met would be significant. Everything anyone said would just confirm. It was unbelievable, incredible. Encounters and experiences. Someone was prophesying, cried until my contact lenses was on my cheeks, which hasn't happened before. But yeah, so that then really birthed it also for us as a couple. And after that, I then, with all this, went to the apostolic team of Shofar and the National Council, so that's the whole leadership structure. I pitched it all to them and said, I want you to please go and pray and come back in the next meeting when you guys gather, tell us what you think. And if someone says no or yes or whatever, I just want to know what you sense. So they all went and they prayed, and the next time they called me back and they said, we have all prayed and we want to tell you that we really believe this is God. My mom also sensed that we've done a lot of missions. So it's not that my mom sensed this because we went on a mission. We do a lot of missions. My mom sensed this and told my sister that she felt on her heart that we would soon be on our way. So we had leaders and we had family getting in on the act. And we also know the way that God has been using us in the past and the way that God has called us. He's to establish and not always live in the things that we have built. So that's words, and I know our time is running short, but if you could, can I ask for 15 more minutes of your time? If you have to go, you can, but I just really want to complete this. I trust it was God who ministered to us earlier in the worship. That was amazing. And I believe God wants me to say these things, so I'm going to continue. There were also a set of words on the fact that it's not only about going to Luxembourg, but it's also that God's heart is on this church and that he is transitioning us because he wants to do something and wants to speak to us about that. So there were also words then at the same time about the end of our season here. I did sense one day in my quiet time that God said that your time here is coming to an end, that he is exiting me and that he is raising up others. So I had that. Then our dear friend Dabri from India, who didn't even know that we went to Luxembourg, he knows nothing about this. He saw a vision, he sent me a message, he said, this is so intense, this is so significant, this is so urgent. When I saw this, and he said, he saw us, me and him, walking to a brick silo that was built with red bricks, and it was almost done, and we were looking, seeing how the last pieces of the red silo is being built, and then when it was complete, we went to see it, and it was already full. Just after it was just built, it was already full. And so I immediately sensed in my heart that God is speaking to me about, like, this is Jesus saying, the church built here was with the red bricks, is the blood of Jesus that he has built, and he's completing the work that he's called us to do, and it's not an empty shell, it's already full. That's what I received when he said it, and I said, Dobri, what is God telling you about this thing? Because I've got a very clear interpretation, but I want to know what he's saying. What do you sense? And he came back and said, I wanted to say it, but don't know how to say it, but I really believe God's saying that your season is over in Cape Town. So that's quite something to say. Then my sister sent me a vision once again. Out of the blue, she doesn't know what's happening, and she said she sees a picture of leaves that's starting to fall from a tree, but the leaves that fall are still green as it falls, and it doesn't die. And she experiences that there's a turning of season with the old season that will not die, but it will just change, and parts of it will fall away, but those parts also will not die, but it won't be part of the same tree anymore. So I replied to her and said, if this happens, Know that you said it. And then maybe I can ask Louis one day prayed for the food. And then Louis started to prophesy. And then he said, he added to the confirmation, was Louis, just come and share that quickly. Louis is also the reason why we do community living, if you didn't know that. So he prophesied me into that too.
Yeah, awesome. I'll try to keep it nice and quick. But like I said, I was just trying to pray for the food. So maybe I was just hungry and the word is really dodgy. And seeing what it was, I was really hoping it was a dodgy word. But so I just got this impression of I saw like Dieben Renau and I saw the sheep like grazing. But I saw that the water is starting to be finished and the food is like drying up. And I knew that the sheep needs to leave this area and go to a different area. And I saw like mountains far in the distance, but it was like desert on the way through. So it's like, it's a scary move to the mountains. And what I just felt to pray for Devon then was I saw like that the seasons are changing and they need wisdom on like this next season on moving the sheep from the one place, because we can't stay here. Like it was definitely like there's not another season left with this place to eat, and the sheep needs to move to the next season. And Debbie also pressed me and asked me like, okay, what do you feel? And I'm like, maybe a new church building, maybe like a different doctrine. It's like, not going to say I think it's the end of season for them, but yeah.
Thanks, Louis. So according to the way I understood what you said is that on the mountain there was much, much better things than what the sheep ever had there. So, but they just had to realize that they have to walk now. But anyway, so things like that then confirm to us also the fact that God is saying this: the season's coming to an end here. And so there's two things that we're responding to. We're responding to the fact that we should go at some stage. We're responding to the fact that God is doing something here. And that he's saying thank you to us for what he could have used us for. But it's his church and his vision and his building. And as much as we love being a part of it, he definitely doesn't need us to do it. He needs us to do what he calls us to do. And so that's the same for each one of us, isn't it? So there's a great sense of excitement in us, of course. But there is a great sense of loss for us. Because we love the vision that God has given for this place. We've seen it. We've heard it. We know what God wants to do in this church, in this city. We love it. And we love the place also. Eugene Peterson says you can't minister to a place unless you love it. We love this place. And we love the people. So those things are really difficult for us. So it's definitely not just an, hey, we're excited, let's run off kind of a thing. You can also pray for us. I thought I would really like Ronelle to just quickly share a heart and then a few encouraging notes from Jacques and Juliette also. Liffy.
Have you asked me to share something? And I think I just want to say that I witness in my spirit everything that you've said. And I just want to share with you that, you know, that I just want to testify about God's grace in all of this and how humbling it is that he calls you for a season and how exciting it can be. But just also how we can, if we really say yes to Jesus, it has such a big, it's sometimes something big and it's something sometimes so daunting. But as you all know, we all process change differently. Some people love it. Some people run from it. And I think there's a grace in this for all of us. And I just want to also just say that in a liberation to you, I think change is challenging to everyone and it might look different to all of us. And it doesn't mean that we love less, we process differently and we love in different ways. And it can be both. I think that's so important. Like these hard things in life can be both exciting and very hard. And God is really journeying with us on this and still teaching us about this. And I want to encourage you to join us on this journey. And I know Debbie said, showed you who the people are you can process with, but you're also welcome to ask us any questions, anything more about the story, because we really want to share with you that this does not, we do not take this lightly. And we are, we've always said that we'll go. We've always told everyone that you have to have a Jesus story when you go. And now suddenly Jesus gave us a story. Like, really? I just want to say that we're excited, we're sad. It's really hard to think that the kids are going to move away from their friends, and we're going to move away from friends and you all and just life, but we're saying yes to Jesus. And although this is a miracle in the making, and I can get myself into the faith box because it's so out of my box to think that we're going to move to Europe. We're not going to travel. We're going to build church. On weekends, we're going to be building church, guys, and we will be there. So if you're looking for us, we'll be there. So, and I just want to invite you on the journey to see how this miracle unfolds, because and just to say that we honor you as part of the journey, and we are sad to go, and we'll process it together.
Thank you, my love. Yes, I want Jacques and Juliette to share, because what God has been doing in their lives has given me a lot of comfort just to see the God who builds his church is faithful. They were here, Jacques and Nita and Juliette, specifically going to just share now. They were here before we were here, and they will be here after we have left, and God is speaking to them about that. And we're trusting God that around them in eldership, in ministry, and operational execution, that God is busy building the team around them as they are dropping into what God is calling them for more in this next season. We're trusting to build that team around them in this transition that I think will be phenomenally exciting. So, Jacques, if you maybe want to share.
Thanks, Diabia. I think Diabia and Runel shared it with us last year, August. And for those of you who don't know, we stay together, we work together, we do church together, we run together. So there's a part that's like, okay, how's you can almost not compete how life would look. But at the same time, there's obviously a sense of excitement of what God is doing. And maybe just to stencil on that I'm excited about this, is there's a prophecy on Cape Town that it would be they speak about the breadbasket to the world. And I think that's something that really excites me, to think that our church can be part of that in terms of sending a church to Luxembourg. Diabia expanded on Luxembourg itself. And then obviously with our Burundi congregation, that we've been able to be part of that. So it's beautiful to, in the bigger picture, see how God has been busy for the last number of years, different ingredients, weaving things together, working all things together for his glory, and for us to be part of it, and I mean us, like all of us, is really exciting. But obviously practically, I think this did serve as a bit as a catalyst for us. Okay, so how things are going to look. And then at Convergence last year, in worship, I felt God say, do 3 days, scale down to 3 days a week at Outsource CFO. That's a company where I'm involved. And I think that just led me on a journey to say, okay, I don't want to overinterpret it. I just want to take it and say, God, I want to execute on that. And through prayer, felt just to open up more time to lean into what God has already been doing here in church and in the community and kingdom. So the idea of that is really exciting for me. Practically being able to chat to the guys at our firm and just agree on that practically. So I've got their blessing, and practical things are falling into place for that. That would then just, what I'm excited about, just open up time to also lean into more what God is doing. Yeah. So, yeah. And maybe just also some extra context. We've been here for since 2010, 2011. Some of you were still at school at that stage. God has been calling us to Cape Town, and through different seasons, different changes, we've been feeling, okay, check, God, do you want us here? families from other parts of the country tell us, hey, we have a family business, we have a farm, please come and take it over. And we felt, no, God is calling us to stay here. And this was another type of scenario. This is an exit for us, and felt, no, you know what's happening here, and we're all in for what God is doing here. So really excited.
Yeah. Thanks, Jock. Jules? Just pray that she doesn't ever transition, because there are sentimental things and then there are real things. Like, Juliet is a backbone like no other. And we're excited for the new season, because there's a fantastic new season ahead.
Thanks, I'll keep it shortest, like my height. So, some of you are aware I'm office manager in the church. See, there's a lot of new faces since I've been gone. I've been on a 3-month sabbatical. Highly recommend it. And yeah, I went overseas to visit a few places. And when I was in China specifically, the first gift I got was this cell phone cover that says, "Do not be afraid," in English and Chinese. Chinese you can't see. And I really sensed the Lord was saying to me, I went through a lot of work in the lead up to the sabbatical, going to psychologist and inner healing and dealing with junk I've been avoiding for many years. And I think a lot of what came out was I've become safe and complacent, and have quite a few things to contend for within my little family. And I think it's just made me quite seek comfort and seek safety. And I realized, especially being in China and the persecution that they're under, I was like, God did not call us to live a safe life. That is not a life of faith. And so I feel the Lord has really been awakening me to be more involved in ministry and to stop hiding behind my laptop and get out. I think Toby has been trying to get me there for many years, and I've been in my shell. So I feel really excited to just step. We're not making anything completely clear today, but just to say I'm really excited about the transition and just getting more involved in ministry on a full-time basis.
Thanks, Jules. All right, guys, we're wrapping this up now. Juliet's also going to start studying with me this year. We are doing a master's in divinity. I'm very excited about that. I like technically started yesterday, but we'll get there. So church, this is not merely a change of leadership. I believe that this is God himself calling this church to step into the next level of glory that he has prepared for it. We have a good foundation now, and I believe that God wants to use a lot of you to build here. Please journey with us in this year. We'll still be here. And speak to us when God speaks to you. And come to us with what do you believe should be part of the next season for this congregation. Next week we will have a kind of a vision Sunday. So we'll elaborate more about what we see for this year. So some very exciting things and cool stuff. And also just pressing into this a little more, maybe answering some of the questions that might have arose in this week after we shared what we just shared. So thank you for joining us in this unusual Sunday. The reason for this also is that I didn't want to do it in a church meeting. I wanted to do it publicly and have it recorded so that anyone else who wants to know can also know. So it is fully public now and has been not public for a long time. And trying to keep it like that was difficult, but now it is. So friends, family, church, and everyone else can know. Father, thank you that you build your church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thank you that you call us and that you send us. Thank you that we can give ourselves over to you as the good Father who knows what he's doing. We commit our hearts to you, and I pray, Father, that you would invite us into the role that you have for each one of us in this next season, in the transition season, and the glorious ones thereafter. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, church. Hope you have a lovely Sunday.